Shall we pray once again? Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We are grateful and thankful to you, dear Lord, for your blessings upon us in the morning service. We thank you, Lord, for the revelation of your word that you sent us at this time. You have exposed the enemy of your kingdom, the enemy of our souls. You have forewarned us, Lord Jesus, by the word that you sent to us today to interpret the Bible to us, to give us an understanding of your plan so that we not be partakers of the evil that we befall this world one of these days. We thank you, Father. I pray, Lord, is that this same word will continue to have effect upon us on a daily basis to see our lives, Lord, yielding to this world, being true reflection of the world. The grace that our life will be subject to your word, Heavenly Father, for that is the true manifestation of your spirit in our lives. We are grateful for your word that has done the word of washing and cleansing. And Lord, the word has also taken us to higher grounds. And you have also healed our sick body. Lord, you have confirmed your promises. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for great things that you have done. And we believe testimony we are bound to your glory. Thank you for the break time. Thank you for the prelude in the worship. We are grateful. This has also gone to prepare our hearts, Lord. And we are here in your presence again for additional blessings from you, so that the entire day will be complete. Master Savior, we commit ourselves to you. May you once again come and grant the blessings for us, so that, Lord, at the end of the evening service, Lord, we will have seen that you have blessed us truly today. Thank you, everlasting Father. At the end of the day, the glory and honor will be yours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. God bless you. Let's open our Bible to Matthew chapter 15. We read from verse 21 to 28. As we continue with the sermon Perseverance. Matthew chapter 15. From verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came out to the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with her devil. For the answer not a word, and his disciple came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cried after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truly, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And the daughter was made whole from that very hour. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let's be seated. Yeah. We started this sermon last Wednesday. So we intend to continue with it, and I also intend to link it up with a little something that I will hope to come up with while we continue. For a little review, especially because of those who were not here on Sunday. This passage that we read speaks of the woman of Cana, who was not a believer, was not an Israelite, rather. But prophet made us to know that she was not entitled to what she was asking for, because that was why the Lord was telling her that it was not sin, but unto the Lord's sheep of the house of Israel. And the woman was not an Israelite. So in other words, a request will not be granted. What she's asking for will not be given to her. She went further to press that, well, she was interested in getting a blessing from the Lord, and she worshiped and said, help me, Lord, help me. And then a second case, the Lord responded and told her that, well, it is not meat for the meat that is meant, the bread that is meant for the children to be cast into dogs. Telling her that, well, this is not the time for your blessing. And so, but the woman was, as the prophet is trying to draw a lesson for us there, the woman was not discouraged by those two statements of the prophet, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we emphasize that this woman had a need. She needed healing for her daughter, who had been tormented by evil spirit. And she knew, having heard, that it was only this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, that could help her. She knew that. That was why she came to him. But only to meet disappointment. But she did not take disappointment. The title of the sermon is Perseverance, but with this subject of faith knows no hindrance. And the prophet used the word there, faith knows no obstacle. If a woman of that nature, a woman, will come up to meet the Lord in herself, not that she sent somebody, directly facing the Lord, making a request. And the next was to be told that you are not qualified for this request that you are requesting. What you are making, your request will not be granted because you are not qualified. The prophet said the woman persisted because she knew what she wanted. She knew what she wanted. So she pressed further. When the Lord told her that, well, it's not good to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And then she told the Lord, I say, you have said the truth. Nobody will do it. The food that's meant for the children to carry it and go and give it to dogs. There's nobody that will do it. Because she alluded to what the Lord said by saying that, and she said, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. What you have said is the truth. She did not disagree with him. But her faith went beyond that. It is true. Faith will give us the right attitude. It's not a prayer. It's a statement of fact that our faith will give us the right attitude. Let's drop that. We'll come back to it. Let's look at the woman with the issue of blood. She decided, having heard about him too, because the prophet told us, she made up her mind that, well, I'm weak, but I may not be able to physically go and touch him like people do, or have him have his attention. But if I can just manage to touch the hem of his garment. The prophet said there was no promise like that, but her faith knew no hindrance. The prophet said a woman who has been losing blood for 12 years,
spent all she had, you know, for the physicians to take care of her, all to no avail. Became very weak. And she concluded in her heart that, well, the only solution to my problem is to come to this and just touch the hem of this garment. If I can do that, that will solve my problem. She had obstacles as well. Faith knows no obstacle. Obstacles are there, but they are not real to faith. Do you agree with me? Obstacles that others will see, they are not real to faith. Joshua and Caleb saw the same thing that the other 11 saw. The other 10 saw. They saw the sons of Anak. They did not see them. They saw them. They had the physical eyes, they saw. Only that they had another spirit within them. The walls that the 10 saw, Joshua and Caleb saw also. But they looked beyond the obstacles. They saw the promise of God. They saw He who promised. Who was it that promised? He had brought us so far from Egypt down to this place. And He gave us this promise. And He said, this land I have given unto you. Even before they step up of Egypt. God told Abraham that. So Joshua and Caleb came back to give their own report that, well, it is true, these are there. And you see what unbelief made the tent to see. Unbelief magnified the problem for them. That magnification made them to see themselves lower than the obstacles. And then they began to see that, we are like grasshoppers beside them. Who told them that? Who told them that? The people that will magnify problem is because they lack faith. It's because they lack faith. Faith sees beyond any present time. It sees beyond the obstacle. It's not looking at the obstacle. It's looking at, if it is a promise of God, it's looking at what God has promised. This woman that we are talking about here had faith in her heart that what I'm asking for, this man has it. He's able to do it. So all the stopping block that was put before her, she was crossing it. Until she made a statement that the Lord Himself was cornered. The Lord couldn't see any other thing any longer. He said, He didn't argue. Truth, it is true that nobody is going to take the food, the bread that belongs to the children, that will throw it to the dog, and your children will go hungry. No sensible woman will do it. He said, but Lord, it is true. But you know that even the crumbs that fell from the master's table, that's what the dogs eat. I'm just asking for the crumbs. That put the Lord in a condition to say that, oh woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And the woman's child was made whole that hour. So the woman did not look at the obstacle. Remember that Jesus was posed before her by the Lord Himself, the Lord of promise, the great healer, the great provider, the resurrection and the dead, the one that could do and do anything, the one that was full of mercy, full of grace, was the one that told her that. If she has turned back, that will have been the end. The daughter of Ahab would die of that demon. God, there will be no solution. Except it will now come to the time of the disciples. You know, just like we have the case of the unbelief that did not allow her to receive healing then, will not allow her to receive healing by that time because it's unbelief. Except God will help her at the point in time that unbelief will leave her. Do you understand what I'm saying? If the woman had gone away from the law and she did not get what she needed because of bad attitude, because what will make her not to get what she needed will be bad attitude. She, if she took offense and said, after all,
Aterukwe ento mana wa lo wa kun dodo e na isokuso lo nso si wa. Can you imagine that? And they are calling him son of David. I even use Lord. I even try to appreciate him that that son of David. Look at what he's telling me. Well, it is my faith. Maybe God, that's what God has ordained for me. The woman did not conclude like that. She didn't conclude like that. She decided to press further. And the prophet told us that it takes faith to persevere. Praise be to God. Let's move a little further. The prophet said it means to be persistent. When you talk about perseverance, it means to be persistent. It means to be enduring, to endure situation with the hope, the belief, the understanding that what God has promised according to God's own timing will come to pass. Endure until there is a positive solution. It's not to resign to faith and say, well, that's my lot, I will take it, it's my cross. Well, sometimes we live under privileged life. Like the prophet told us. The prophet used that word, live under privileged life. Because of some belief that we have accepted in our mind. And you know, like Brother was saying in the morning, whatever we believe, that's what we live by. If a man believes that way, ohun will prosper. Pe to nse ma o ma ma tore je no fi ma ku na ni. Pe after all, his own father, that's the way the father lived. Some people will tell you that way in their father's house they don't prosper. There's some will say that they are even called, there is a curse in their family that, you know, may any first male or females, this is what happens to them. Why do you think denomination organizes revival deliverance every time? They tell them all that. But they don't tell them, the only solution they tell them is that they have to pray. And because there is no, that is not the solution, they keep going to church, seeking deliverance on Monday, on Tuesday, until Sunday again. They will continue another revival program, deliverance program. That is why their churches are every time you see activities going on, the same member that will still be coming there. It's because they don't have solutions to their problem. But if God will help a man to believe right, to have the right understanding of the plan and the program of God, then you will know that there is no circumstance that God cannot change. Yes, there is no circumstance. Where I usually conclude my thought is this. If God can raise the dead, a dead man that has died 4 days already rotting, and he brought that man back to life, handed him over to his sisters, and he still lived, and the enemies of the law planned to kill the same man because they could see the evidence that this man that was dead 4 days has come back to life. If God can do that, what else can he not do? Is there any part of the body of a man that is damaged, that is destroyed? Talk about brain rotting, talk about the body collapsing. Who put it together in the first instance? Is it not God that put it together in the first instance? If it is the will of God and God can help the individual, he will put it back. What is collapsed, God will reorganize. Because you say is a miracle working God. So if we don't believe God based on his capacity, we will live under privileged life. So the woman was enduring until she got what she wanted. She did not back out. So the prophet said,
It is persisting towards making a goal. A goal. Somebody has a goal, and the goal could be spiritual goals, could be physical, financial, material, could be a desire.
As we explained on Wednesday, we are just trying to review for those, for the sake of those who are not here.
So, if it is a goal that somebody has in mind that he wants to accomplish, then in order to realize that goal,
the person must be persistent, must persevere. Praise be to God. Let me read this little part.
The prophet said, the word according to Webster on some notes I got written out here, it means to be persistent, to be perseverant, and that is into making a goal. To be persistent, and that is perseverance. Men of all ages that have faith in what they are doing, what they are trying to achieve, have been perseverant.
Sorry. 64:03-05, the sermon Perseverance, preaching in Dallas, Texas.
Men of all ages that have faith in what they are doing, what they are trying to achieve, they have faith in what they are, that what I want to accomplish is possible. They see possibility. So once you see that what I want to do is possible, because it is one thing to begin a thing and you don't see that it's possible for you to accomplish, you are just making efforts. And those are the people that die along the road. No man can be perseverant unless first he knows what he is trying to achieve. So if a man does not know what he is trying to achieve, what it takes, like we use the words, somebody is looking for honey in a rock and he carries his axe sharpened and he begins to hit on the rock. What's the target? Honey in the rock, very sweet honey. As the man is using the axe to strike the rock, the axe will be coming more blunt. If the man looks at the mouth of the axe, this axe is getting blunt. I don't want my axe to spoil. It's either take the option of keeping the axe blunt or getting the honey. Either of the two. So, but if he knows what he wants, he knows the worth of the honey he wants to get, he will not care about the bluntness of the axe. No, your Bible is okay. You know, because you will be discouraged from further striking the rock with the same axe. So, no man can be perseverant. No man can be persistent. No man can be enduring. No man can resist obstacles, hindrances, obstructions, negative reactions, which was what the Lord displayed to her, to this woman. It was a negative to what she expected. No man can be perseverant unless first he knows what he's trying to achieve. And you first must know what you are trying to achieve, and then have faith in what you are going to do, what you are going to get. And then have faith that you are going to get what you are trying for.
Amen.
And we said that to be perseverant here, it means that it does not leave room for laziness. There's no room for laziness here. There's no room for laxity. There's no room for procrastination. There's no room for delay. So for somebody to persevere, it means that you have no left. You are not leaving any chances. You are just going to make sure that every opportunity that comes is well utilized. You are persistent. Which means you are constantly on the move, constantly doing one thing or the other toward the achievement of your goal. That's why the prophet used the Webster dictionary and he called it persistent. The word persistent means, you know, to be on the move constantly. You are persist. There is no lax. Alright? So, and that makes you persistent because you know what you are trying to. So that is why the goal that somebody has set to achieve, if it's the Holy Ghost baptism, because that's where we want to strike it at this evening. If it's Holy Ghost baptism, you know what God has said about it. And then you know what it takes from you as a person to accomplish it, to get the Holy Ghost. If it is education, you know what it requires from you. If it is the interest you have in your financial situation to improve, you know what it takes. If it is the earth, that is, you know what it takes. Whatever goal that somebody is trying to win, it's the family issue. You know what it takes, according to God's word, to get solution to whatever problem that we are facing. Whatever goal that anybody might have, you must know what you are doing. Let me read from, and then we'll come back to this here. Yeah, let me read from Perseverance, Preaching Agency 62, June 23. Before I preach that sermon, the sermons are so plenty. So plenty. Are you there? 62, John 23, paragraph 48. Perseverance. The prophet says, now, this same woman, she was persistent. She had an achievement. She knew that she had to be persistent in order to get to Jesus, so she had to pass by everything. Finally, she arrived. Now, finally, she got there. Everything is fine. You have not seen it. I quoted the year for you. That will make it easy for you. 620623. Just search for the year. You'll get it. That's the quickest way of getting any sermon is the year. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I think I was reading something different. Okay, was that why? You got the first one I said before. Sorry. Okay, that means I got you confused. Sorry. The thing flipped. I went to another one because I'm using mobile reading mode. And men through all ages that have ever tried to achieve something have been persistent. Who have achieved anything through the ages? They have been persistent. Man, in order to be persistent, I might quote again, is to know what you are after. So, if you are not somebody who does not know, let me just use that example because that's the best example we can use. And when we get that example, we can apply it to all other things. Somebody that is asking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If the person knows that this is God's promise and this is what God requires, and the person does not care about it, you won't get it. You won't get it. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. When you are hungry and you are in your house, you go and sit down and fold your hands. Answer me. You are thirsty. You go and sit down and fold your hands. You go get your water to drink. And if you are hungry, you go to the kitchen if there is food. You go to the kitchen, go and serve yourself food and sit at the kitchen and devour the food. Because it's a call. It's a call of nature in your body.
So if somebody is going to get the Holy Spirit, the Bible, the word of God says, blessed are they that thirst and hunger after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So that hunger is to push you into action. That task is to push you into action. That action that will make that promise a reality in your life. So if there is no hunger and there is no task, you will just remain lukewarm there. You won't make efforts. You won't take any step. You will hear every time. You will just, because there is no hunger, there is no task. Now, what makes, the prophet talks about desperation. When there is an emergency, we enter into desperation. We enter into desperation. So, but the prophet said we shouldn't wait until the time of emergency before we are desperate. When you understand what that need is all about, the understanding of the need is what will bring desperation out. Mostly, we get desperate when somebody is physically sick. But we don't get desperate for spiritual sickness. When somebody collapses, hey, everybody will rush down to the hospital. Is that not? They will put drip here, put drip, attend to this, attend to that, attend to this, attend to this. What about the spiritual life? It is because there is little that people can do to help you. When it comes to spiritual things, it lays on you. The only thing you can that can be done to help you is you hear the gospel. And people are praying and interceding for you. But you must take steps on your own. You must take steps on your own. If you say that, oh, thank God my parents are praying for me, the brethren are praying for me. And what you are supposed to do, you are not doing. You are just there. You are just there. It's just like a student that the parents are praying for. He's in school. Kokawe. Exams are coming, you just lying down on the bed and say, thank God, brethren are praying for me. The prophet said you must burn midnight candle. After you have brought your request to the church, pray for Junie. He has an exam, he has whatever to do tomorrow or whatever. The prophet said then that Junior has to burn the midnight candle. If prayers are offered for you in your time of exams and you go and jump on the bed and sleep off, you will sleep off. When the result will come out, you will go back and sleep. Yes. Nobody is going to be happy with you. Everybody will frown their face and tell you that what? What type of result is this? Shebi, we are praying for you. Shebi, you did not read. Shebi, Shebi, pray for me. Shebi, pray for me. Shebi, is it not enough for me to pass? It's not enough for you to pass. Knowledge does not come to you by inspiration. Do you understand? I know that very well as a preacher. To preach is by inspiration. But when I had to, in the days I was doing presentation, I had to read and know what I want to talk about. Because if I don't like preaching, if I don't depend on it, that is the battle I was facing in academics. Because it comes to preaching, you depend mostly upon inspiration because you know it's a gift. But when it has to be paper that you have to talk to people, it's a knowledge that is not your own. It doesn't come by inspiration. You must read and know what you are talking about. Or else, come back peak here at the end of the day. I say, Mama, shake in the Bro. You know? Knowledge. Physical athlete knowledge you acquire by studying. Study. Even the Bible talks about study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm not saying that depending on inspiration does not mean that we don't study. That's not what I mean. Even after studying, fulfilling the scripture, we still rely upon inspiration of God. Because that is when, beyond the preparation of the preacher, God takes him. That is when God will not address the situation as plenty as well. It might be one person that God will be addressing. And the preacher does not know the condition of that person. How you will know is that at the end of the day, the person will come and meet you and say that, thank you for that sermon. Then you now know that, okay, it was this person that God was addressing the case. Are you getting me now? So that gives courage to the preacher. Because when you are preaching, you don't know everybody is seated. And the inspiration comes and you say certain things that you don't know about that person. And the person knows that this matter concerns me. So that can only come by inspiration. So you must do your own part. Praise be to God. So, and the prophet told us that there is a propeller. I mean, I'm the one that used the word propeller in paragraph 11 of the Orisama, Perseverance, preaching in 1964, March 05, March 5. Paragraph 11. I think I've been reading that too. Yeah, I've been reading too. Let me read too. All right. Let me start from 11. Men of all ages that are faith in what they are doing, what they are trying to achieve, have been perseverant. No man can be perseverant unless first he knows what he's trying to achieve. And you first must know what you are trying to achieve, and then have faith that you are going to get what you are trying to, what you are trying for. And that makes you persistent. Something that you know is real. Faith is based that way. That is the only way to show that you believe what you are trusting. Faith is not based upon a myth and upon something that, well, that is just that just say, go do this or do that. On the words of some men. You see? But faith takes its eternal rest upon eternal rest place upon the word of the Lord, upon God's word, which is the Bible. Now, we believe the Bible to be God's infallible word. We believe that it is the entire revelation of Jesus Christ, revealing himself in the Old Testament by the prophets, God making himself known through his Son, Christ Jesus, and in him dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was crucified for our sins, died, buried, rose the third day, ascended into heaven, and is back here again in the name, in the form of the Holy Spirit, God dwelling one time above us in Christ, God with us, now God in us. It is God walking his way back into man to worship, be God's agent. God does nothing outside of a man, being his agent is ever. And no man who has had faith in God has been very persistent in what... And now, man who have faith in God have been very persistent in what they are trying to do. And we take men of all walks of life. You know the meaning of men of all walks of life? Not only spiritual aspects, the physical aspect also. Men of all walks of life, they have faith in what they are trying to accomplish, and they're able to do it. If you look at the scientists, you see it. Praise be to God. And so, faith is the one that propels us to have determination. If there is no faith in determining, that will help us to determine that this thing that I want to... Faith comes by hearing God's word. It is the word of God that will rest in your heart, that will make your belief to be solid and say, this thing God promised, he cannot fail. And God says, if I ask for it, he's going to do it for me. Praise be to God. Let me look at paragraph 28. Because I know that this time is going. Paragraph 28. I want to use that to and when a man knows the word and will of God, you become persistent. When a man knows the word and the will of God, you become persistent. You become perseverant. No matter what science says, well, they can't do this, they cannot do that, you know it anyhow. You got a hold of something, and that something has got a hold of you. You are rotating together. There is something about it that you cannot explain it. No matter how scientific it seems to be untrue, yet there is something in it that tells you that it is God and there is nothing going to stop it. The prophet talks about Noah. Noah was told to build an ark. If Noah did not have faith, which is revelation, of what he was going to do, if he was not convinced that flood was coming, he would also be dilly-dally. As we are talking about the end of the world is here, if we have revelation, if we have faith in all that we are hearing, it will make us to keep on daily basis, to keep on our knees on daily basis, seeking the face of God in preparation for the coming of the Lord. But when we lack that revelation, then we'll be wishy-washy. We will be dilly-dally. We'll not take things very serious. By and by. Now, to be persistent here, I want to apply this here. Now, in responding to God's call, to our young sisters, to our young brothers, to our whole brothers and whole sisters, the prophet told us, quoting the scripture in Psalm 42 or 7, that deep calls to the deep. Deep calleth unto the deep. Now, the prophet made us to understand that before deep will call to the deep, there's a deep to respond. Before you will get thirsty, there is water to quench your thirst. In the reasons of when you are thirsty, physically, is water you are thirsty after. It's only that technology has provided different things with which you can quench your thirst. But nothing quenches that thirst like water. Go and take Coke. Take Fanta. Take fruit juice. Take all of those things. It's just temporary. You at the end of the day, you will still need to drink water. Why do you think people, after putting food down, well, besides the health benefit of drinking water, people put food down, they will put drink, they will still put water. Why do they put water there? The position of water is different from drinks. It's different. So there is different thirst for water. So when somebody is thirsty for water, it's because there is water to be thirsted after. We're coming to something in just a few minutes. When there is a deep, the prophet said, when there is a deep, when deep calls, then there is a deep to respond to that call. And then the prophet said, the best thing is that, okay, for instance, the prophet said, if God is tugging at your heart, do something. If God is ministering something to your heart, maybe you have heard it, you have heard God's word, or somehow you write within you, a deep is calling for something within you. That deep could be, go and pray. That deep could be, set time aside to pray, to study. That deep could be something else. It is because God wants to do something. If you find out that thing is in the line of righteousness, sometimes something will tell you, let me give you an example. Let me leave that on. I will say that one later when it's fully materialized. When something ministers to you, go ahead and follow it up. Let me read something here so that we can get exactly something from the prophet. Let us read from open 1962, June 12th. Sister Tun June 12. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. June. That's 62:12, 62:06, 12. Paragraph 141. Are you there? Paragraph 141. And so we are going to read to 145. And so she said, but you know, sir, I want you to go anyhow. You know, there's something about it. When God goes to tugging at your heart, there isn't hardly anything going to keep you away from it. I want you to understand what I am trying to do here. I'm talking about persistence. What can make you to be persistent? You can apply persistence to accomplish something. When God is tugging at your heart, please leave it. Yes. So begin to tug at her heart. You know, you must go anyhow. When she said, I have heard about it, that's how faith comes. Let me go just and find out for myself. I will come back and bring you reports. You shall never have my consent. Why? You hold dead grandmother and great grandmother and so forth as queens before you. You know, this is Queen of Sheba. This is Queen of Sheba. The greater than Solomon is there. She heard about Solomon's fame. And the information she had began to talk in her heart, began to feel that she needed to go. To go and see for herself the information that she has been told. And then she made an attempt to take permission in that place. They were not ready to give her permission. But that thing kept talking in her heart. But finally, when she went, what did she find? When God is talking at your heart, be sensitive to it. Because it is God, you have to follow it up. Be persistent with that talking. When God is talking at your heart, when there is a pull in your heart, God is pulling you to do something. Now remember, because Jesus Christ says that no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. And whosoever come into me, unto me, I will no wise cast out. We are telling you that faith comes by hearing God's word. This woman of Canaan that came to Jesus heard about the fame of Jesus Christ. Okay? And she became persistent to get what she wanted. Now, if there is a tongue in your heart, God is calling your heart, calling, putting something in your heart to do something. There is a desire that God is putting in your heart. That many of us, there is none of us that we can say that God has not tugged my heart at one time or the other to do something. Whether we go and take the Bible and read. Whether we go and set aside and pray. Whether this period, during this holiday, to go and do something and seek the face of the Lord. Some of our children that are away from school, one of them even told us that she wants to set time aside to pray. It is God, for you to have such desire, it is God talking at your heart. Because the Holy Spirit is there for you to receive. The promise is there for you to receive. Whatever. And that talk should keep you consistent. Because you should be sure that this thing that is talking at my heart is God that is talking to me that wants to give me something. Because when there is a deep calling, a deep is there to respond to it. If you don't get that, then there's a problem. The Bible says it is God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when God is talking at your heart towards anything, don't deny it. The devil will come and put a stumbling block before you. But you must be persistent. To have testimony. This woman had testimony today because we are reading about her that she persisted. She was a woman being like you and me. She was not an angel. She didn't care the obstacle she was going to face. So there is nothing worth achieving
that the enemy will not put stumbling block before us. But most times, we are not sensitive. We are not sensitive. A little desire will crop up in your mind, maybe to do certain things. You say, oh, I will do it tomorrow. Do it tomorrow? You are not like that woman that got her request from the Lord. You are not like that woman with the issue of blood. You are not like the great men that the prophet talks about, all men of all walks of life. They have faith in what they are doing. Faith drives us into action. So when there is a desire in your heart, something is tugging at your heart, go and do this. People that are looking for a job, something might tell you, go and write application. You might not know why. Just go, take your application paper, go and write application the way it should be. Something can tell you, go and update your CV. Go and do it right away. When you do it, then you begin to pray and say, God, I don't know. Something asked me to prepare my CV. I'll prepare it. Please, what is the next step to take? We must be sensitive. The way God deals with his people, God speaks. God ministers to our heart. But we are so dumb. We don't recognize it. The people that are led in the Bible is sometimes it's this way. It's this way that something will just speak to their heart like that. It might not be audible, but something will just tell them something. And the contrary will discover, it's okay. They take steps on it, you see what is coming out of it. They steps on it, you see what is coming out of it. So if something is tugging at your heart, be persistent with it. Because you are going to have testimony. If you are not persistent, if you just leave it like that, forget it, don't learn here. God gives us opportunity every now and then. Go and take step like it could be a business, go and take step like this. Then you look at it and say, okay. You go to God in prayer and say, well, I don't know about this, so please have your way, guy. If it is God leading you that is putting that in your heart, you will see the way it's going to turn out to be.
May God be our help. Let's read Jehovah Jireh, preaching 1955. I don't think I read that one to the end. Okay, I read it. To 155. Did we read it to 155? Okay, let's complete it. Because there are other things there that that will give us.
Alright, I can just imagine a little heart saying, well, they might as well get ready to turn over, because I'm going, you see? Because why? Faith comes by hearing the word. And when God goes tugging at a heart, there is no way to get rid of it. Only go do what he tells you to do. That is the only way to do it. So here she was, tugging at her heart and going. He said, now look, now, you just stay here at your church. And someday, maybe Great Dagon or one of our girls here will move. She said, listen here. I want to tell you something. I have lived my time out in this temple. And all my days you have talked about a God. And I had my mother say the same thing. And you got a book of rules here. And you got idols hanging around here. And I haven't seen one thing take place. That's what I like. And if there is such a thing as God that can come into you, do you all know the form of pagan worship? I know, I don't want to. I am watching that.
Okay, Prophet said he's watching that clock. So let's read this one now, Jehovah Jireh. I think I got what I want there. Job 55:02, 22. Paragraph 73. Alright, tonight, but it's you talking to me. This feeling in my heart, I know it's you. I'm raising my hand to you, Father, and you to be merciful to me, a sinner. Will you do it? Someone? Yes. God bless you. Someone? God bless you. Lady? God bless you. Sir, hop in the balcony to my left. God be merciful to me. I now accept Jesus as my Savior. I'm coming. Father, upon the basis of the shed blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus, I come. I can't do nothing. I'm helpless, Lord. But I want you to know that I realize it is you talking to my heart now. And here I am. I am raising my hand to you. You are speaking and I'm raising my hand. To the balcony, to the right, will you raise your hand? Most times when someone goes on, people that you raise their hand, they will be seated there. I was listening to a sermon. Was it the one I personally listened to, or the general one that we both listened to? That the brother was saying that I know few of. Was it the sermon on Friday? I think there's a sermon I listened to, maybe personally. I think I'm missing it all. The brother was saying that he was making altar call. In that altar call, the brother is saying that I know many of you that ought to come out that are in the congregation that ought to be in this altar. Why? They are not responding to the call of God. If the prophet could pick it, that means God is speaking. Don't God has been speaking to the heart of these people. It's because God has been speaking to them, and yet they will remain there. Remember, you are using your free moral agency to take decision. So God talks. He talks at our heart. He pulls our heart like a fisherman. We'll be tugging the hook to catch the fish that is close by. God talks at our heart. When God talks at your heart, you have to be persistent in following it to the point that you will see the result of that talking. Because when deep calls, there is a deep to respond to it. It is God that, when God is calling, it means that He's ready to bless you. When God put anything in your heart, design in your heart, it is because He has something that He wants to accomplish. You know, through that, it may not be for you, it may be for another person.
May God be our help. Let's bow our heads. God is a supernatural God. A supernatural. Most times we, because we are so given to ourselves, we don't seem to recognize that talk. God talks at our heart. Go and do this. Go and do that. Go and do this. Go and do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. It talks at our hearts. He does it. When we yield ourselves, what He does for us is that we come back to our testimony. Because He knows us better and He has the blessing in His hand that He wants to give. But when we don't yield, when we don't respond, we lose the blessing. And God cannot force us. Because we are placed upon free moral agency. He has his house full of blessings. His covers are full with blessings, with deliverance, with healing. He pulls our heart to Himself to bless us. Just like the prophet told us that Jesus knocking at the door. He's coming with blessings. He's not taking anything from you. All He just needs is for you to open the door of your heart and give Him access to every part of your heart. And then He will be the Lord. Be not perseverant, be not persistent. We have lost many things. Remember, we will serve under our decision. How many of us are in the congregation that you know God has been talking at your heart? But you are not, you ought to have taken steps, but you are not doing anything about it. And you want a prophet to come and tell you this. You want a prophet to come and tell you, you are waiting for a prophet to talk. And yet God has been talking to you. By the time we finish this thing and are called
a handover, the prayer of deliverance from refusing to yield to God. I want the individual with all our eyes closed. I want the individual who you know that you have been slacking, that have been tugging at your heart to do something, and you have been slacking. Just be on your feet while you talk to the Lord. That God help me. Talk to the Lord. You know God has been knocking at your heart, but you are not yielding, you are not responding. He has a blessing for you. Abundant blessing. He has it, but you are the one denying yourself of that blessing. He has it. But if you're going to yield ourselves and surrender to Him, we are going to have testimony. I want you to talk to the Lord. God help me. I fail in responding to your talking. I'm open again. Here I am. I'm ready to listen to you. I'm ready to obey your leadership. Give me grace to be persistent. Another opportunity. I will be calling the servant of God to come and commit us to the hand of the Lord. So while you are still standing on your feet, holding your request, you have believing that the Lord has spoken to you and that He's going to address your needs.
Dear Heavenly Father, we bring our thanksgiving offering unto you for the privilege we have this afternoon / evening to hear from you again. Dear Lord, it's a privilege and honor that we have that the Creator of heaven and earth can speak to us and address our needs. The government of the land, when they come to speak and make promises, they don't have what it takes to fulfill it. That's why they are always and constantly a failure. But when you speak, you have the resources enough to meet every need. You have enough resources even before you make your promises. And you're always faithful. We thank you for your word that we have heard again this afternoon of evening on perseverance. Dear God, your prophet actually said that we cannot be desperate except God touch us. And your word further said it is you both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And your word has come from this direction, reminding us that God do communicate with us, but perhaps sometimes whether we don't recognize or we are dull of hearing or we are slothful, whichever way is applicable, thou Almighty God know it. Some of your children stand on their feet in response to the altar call, some are at the altar. Above all, you are the one that knows our hearts. You know exactly what we are thinking about, and you know what we are talking with you as individuals. We present ourselves before you this evening, that our Almighty God has brought us here from to be manifested in this generation. You know exactly all the conditions we'll be in, the circumstances, the needs that we face, the challenges, and everything that will come before us. You know everything. Nothing is new to you. You know the problems we encounter. And Lord, because you are faithful and you are a faithful Father, You have enough resources to meet every challenge. You have enough to meet every need. Dear Master Jesus, it is left with us. Some of us did not have time to think about you, which your prophet said that when we do that, you appear to us. Some of us haven't got time to consecrate ourselves. Whichever way that we have failed, we pray that your grace, Holy Spirit, will speak to our hearts. Give each one of us recognition of the way you speak to us. Help us to make ourselves available in studying, in consecration, in praying, in meditation, in expectation. Lord, the things we busy ourselves with, contrary to the way we can see you, we pray that you will move those things out of the way, oh God. The path that leads to deliverance, put our feet on it. The path that leads to blessing, put our feet on it. We are your children. And Lord, your prophet have said that you don't have any hands apart from ours. You don't have eyes except ours. And if you are going to manifest yourself in this generation, you only do it through your own children. Help us not to block the expression of your manifestation. Work upon us as individuals. Work upon us as group of believers. Take away ourselves. Help us to surrender ourselves. Help us to yield unto you. Break forth upon us, Heavenly Father. May your mercy find us, O God. Beyond the ability of the preacher, may the Holy Spirit expatiate this things in our heart. As we meditate further on it, may lead us to greater blessings, O Father. We pray, dear Almighty God, that there will be testimonies that proceed forth out of these blessings that we have received. May you water it day and night, dear Lord. Let it be, Heavenly Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Help us not to act like Ephesians aimed at and relax. Help us to be perseverant. Help us to be desperate. We have examples before us, full in scriptures and through the ministry of the prophet and even beyond, O God. Anything we persevere on constantly, irrespective of Lord's discouragement, irrespective of difficulty or obstacles, we do see results. And anything that will actually be valuable, it really comes in a hard way. Help us to recognize Heavenly Father. Take away all slothfulness from us. Thank you, Eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. May these blessings be permanent in our life. May lead each one to great testimonies. Thank you, Eternal Father. Bless your servant that you have used, and lift up the honor of his ministry, replenish his strength, O God. Everyone you have used today in what we are the order to make the blessings of today a reality to each and every one of us, in whichever way which thou Almighty God knows them in details, may you bless your people, O Father. May we never be weary in well doing. May you put more in the next services, O God, that day by day, week by week, we will see more of your glory. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Soon we will depart to go back to our homes. You brought us safely in the morning, will you take us back home safely? Your servant that went to Bakatari, when he will be coming back, may you bring him safely also. Thank you, Eternal Father. The entire week is in your hand. We pray that your spirit will lead us, O God. Guide our path, Father. Bless the work of our hands. Rebuild the virus for our sake. Keep us strong and healthy. Heal the sick and the afflicted. Make a way for your people. Make provisions for each one, Lord. Thank you, Eternal Father. In the services ahead of us, take us higher yet in your blessing. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. Praise be to God. I want to apologize to Brother Joseph Oyedepo. I had it in mind on Wednesday to welcome him from his missionary trip, and somehow I forgot because of some other pressures. When I came here myself, my mind was just not looking. Oh, everything I had in mind disappeared because I have other things I was working on. So he went. I remember Maybe early this morning before the service, before I came, the thing has flew again because other things came in, and then I remember again this evening. You all come from your trip. You both people say better late than never. You know, you travel for 2 weeks, and I think this is the first time we go for, not the first time anyway, you just to this very place you spend 2 weeks there at once. God bless you. I will see Mama Akishinya briefly after the service, ma. God bless you, ma. I want to intimate the church. We had a small meeting with the pastor, some of us, in the afternoon. Because the wife of Brother Ben Love has been indisposed for a while, and many of us are aware of the situation. Some might not be aware, but she's not well at all, and her case is an emergency. We've been on it for some few days now, but it still needs higher step than the level we have taken. And this higher step is going to require that we get her admitted in UCA tomorrow. And we've been in contact with the sister's mom, and she has accepted that the children should be brought home for now, which, if all things is equal, by Tuesday, our brother, after the wife is admitted tomorrow, the children may be taken home. And well, we know that our brother's means of livelihood is meager fare, and he cannot take care of what is on ground, and it's going to cost us quite some hundreds of naira. So we want to appeal to the brethren once again that, that's why I was putting the parable in the morning, that we should not be weary in well doing. The scripture told us in Galatians that we should bear one another's body and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we have to, because whatever happened in the negative is going to be a blemish on us as an assembly. In return, it will be a blemish to Christ. So as for whether this one or do this one, find this one or do this, let's leave that one for now. Because Yoruba have one adage. We kakoko le akata lona katuwa febo ba adye. See, let's pursue the animal away for before we come and meet the chicken that we are rearing. No, so we attend to whatever as the time comes. You know, it's too something we have before us. We have to take some curative measures and then preventive measures. What we are facing now is curative. Then the preventive for future occurrence will come to that after this session. When one tree falls upon another one, we have to call the one on top before you can get to the one in the bottom. I believe I'm very clear enough, isn't it? The Lord bless you. And may the Lord be gracious that we don't have to pay each other in the same coin. Only God has no future. Nobody no future. No matter how clever you think you are, some things can come up that is beyond your cleverness. And when it happens like that, you also have to rely on the family of God to come to your rescue. May the Lord rescue all of us. So as soon as possible, whatever you can afford, send to the deacon so that we put them together and use it to face what we have to face. But immediately, whether we have to borrow, we have to do, tomorrow morning, action must start before things get out of hand. God bless you. Shall we rise? Lord, dismiss us with a blessing. 855.
God is not only a song.